It's time for a Bent News update on the imbalanced history of rock and roll. I'm Ray Koob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
And Marcus, you know when you need to know.
Get bent.
The one and only Willie Nelson is 90 years old. And what a party in Los Angeles last week. And it continued for a couple more nights. But they took over. And Keith Richards, to kick things off, says, ready to go, Willie? Like, he hasn't been thinking about this for weeks as they've been lining up all the amazing artists who wanted to come and be a little piece of Willie's party at Hollywood Bowl, like Neil Young and Kris Kristofferson, who we were just talking about for our upcoming episode about Janis Joplin.
True. You also had Beck, Billy Strings, Bob Weir, Chris Stapleton, who plays some slick, slick guitar, Casey Musgraves, Margo Price, Nora Jones, whose voice is so beautiful, Roseanne Cash,
representing the Cash family,
and now Hall of Famer Sheryl Crow,
the dog in the house, and Tom Jones on the same stage with Warren Haynes and Ziggy Marley. The eclectic blend is a reflection of Willie himself. What a great celebration of a great person, an amazing writer and musician, and still the coolest dude on the planet. Thanks for hanging with us through to 90, man.
All my friends tell them, there's a party, come on by. Come listen.
Roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Do you think Willie Weed was on stage being enjoyed by everybody during this show?
You know it. The finest strains from my personal collection.
You know that.
Well, last week on Bent News, Marcus, we were talking about the prospect of Aerosmith announcing one more tour, and they've even got a name and logo for it and all. It's called Peace Out. That's a great way to walk away, right? Do the tour. Peace out, y'all. And it starts in our hometown of Philadelphia. I know we say this a lot, but this really looks like the last go-round. Unlike other bands and artists who will continue to do farewells, time's running out on the health and welfare of the members of Aerosmith, one of my favorite bands of all fucking time. Cool dudes, too.
They may be the greatest American rock and roll band of all time. And on New Year's Eve, they're going to be smashing the Garden in Boston. Could you imagine the Peace Out Tour New Year's Eve in Boston? Oh my God, that's going to be crazy. Road trip.
Oh, baby. Well, as will happen, Marcus, whenever the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland announces a new class of inductees, shit is being stirred constantly since it has been announced this week. And I really don't have a whole lot to say about this except for congrats to those who are in, even the ones who are coming in the side door. What I want to talk about, maybe we should have talked about this before we got on the air here. I want to know, when are they changing the name of the place to the Music Hall of Fame? They could just do that and stop all this bullshit fighting between fans, don't you think?
Maybe, but again, rock and roll is the mud of all the styles of music. If you think about it, it's jazz, it's blues, it's country, it's a little bit of everything.
You're preaching to the choir over here, but what I'm trying to say is the people who aren't down with what you're saying and how I feel about it too, which is this is all just fine, they are caught up on the rock and roll part. And they don't feel the way you feel about it being the mutt and all this is all together. It has its own little weirdness and idiosyncrasies that will continue. And I think we just announce who gets in and move on, really. I mean, I'm happy for Kate Bush. She's getting recognition long deserved. Sheryl Crow, as you pointed out, may be a little premature in her entry, but she deserves it. Missy Elliott is strong. George Michael, it's overdue. Willie, ironically, gets the word, what, the day after his birthday, probably, right? He may have even known on his birthday.
Worry, why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the world did I do? Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I
I'm crazy for trying, crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
Absolutely, and Willie Nelson's been an influence on the direction of rock and roll, just like we said previously.
Sure. Rounding out the lineup for this year, Rage Against the Machine. I'm really glad to see them getting in. I thought it would be a few more years. And the Spinners from Philadelphia, a favorite since I was a wee laddie.
Big favorite of mine. I have no problem with any of the bands that got in. Some may have gotten in too early, but every one of them is qualified in some way. And every one of them represents a high quality of a form of rock and roll. So congratulations to everybody who got in.
I've also become increasingly interested every year in what I call the side door. Like DJ Cool Herc, who was a really popular, influential DJ. He gets in. Link Wray is honored. He's part of the Twangers, the Ravers. We did a cool episode about them, and he was a big part of it. Chaka Khan is honored this year. Al Kooper. Nobody knows where to put Al Kooper. He only helped everybody along the way, so he's being honored. And also Bernie Taupin, Elton John's longtime lyricist and songwriting partner, being honored because, frankly, they're not sure where to put him.
And that's another thing. There are a lot of people like Al Kooper and Bernie Taupin who a lot of people don't know who they are. And they were the behind-the-scenes people or the not-as-well-recognized people who made a big difference in rock and roll. And those people, even though they don't have the big pop culture names, still deserve that recognition and honor.
And the Ahmet Erdogan Award goes to a man we've talked about recently, Soul Train creator and host Don Cornelius.
Rightly so.
Alice Cooper in the news this week. He's writing a new album, a concept album. I know that'll surprise you, Marcus. It's called Road, about life on the road, and the announcement comes as he's going back on the road here in 2023.
This cat is interesting, and he is obviously not done creating music. He has no desire to hang it up as far as the live show goes, and he continues to perform at a very high level, and I am glad that the world has Alice Cooper. We need an Alice Cooper in our world.
Like so many of our heroes, I don't want to think about a world without Alice in it. Road from Alice Cooper, on the way. You know, we've all heard of the Brixton Academy. Very few of us had been there. And now they're talking about closing the legendary academy, a place where so many people played. It's really a great club, a great venue. Now, there was an incident with the Crowd Crush in December. People died. But the petition has now grown to over 12,000 signatures at press time. And people are saying to keep the place open and just do what they have to do to make it safer if there's an issue.
That's usually the common sense solution to a problem. If there were structural issues with the Brixton Academy and people were hurt because of that, then it's a different story.
Yes.
But that isn't what happened, so there's no reason to close a historical venue like Brixton Academy because of a situation like that.
We'll keep up with this story and let you know how it turns out on the Bent News Update. Well, Mark, there's been a lot of fuss ever since, I think, the Taylor Swift incident where more people applied for tickets for her concerts than live on the planet. There's been a lot of fuss about tickets and fees, and now the United States Senate has moved to remove what they call hidden fees, junk fees, as a lot of people call them. These are the things that go beyond, hey, we're charging you X dollars to sell you this ticket online. And frankly, it's one of those things that piss both of us off, and I'm glad that they're acting, as long as they're making all the provisions of this Ticket Act things that will help the consumer, which is what it's really all about.
I'm really disappointed in Ticketmaster and the greed. And we work in radio, so we know how hard our listeners work to save their money to be able to attend concerts. And our listeners love going to see live music. So to screw the people who are going out to support the bands is really just such a crappy thing. And I'm really glad the government's stepping in.
They're doing their job, Marcus, and that is to regulate industry. And this one has run amok over the last 10 to 15 years. Not to be left out of the equation, Live Nation boss Michael Rapino said the ticketing industry was widely misunderstood and an easy target. These are his words, for those unhappy with pricing issues, but also admitted work was needed to build some credibility back. I'm not going to say anything because it could get us in trouble. When I saw the list of some of the ticket fees that were on some people's bills a couple years ago when I was looking into this first, I was appalled. Fix it, and fix it for the fans and for the bands who really need the dollars.
Yeah, we didn't even mention earlier how much it screws over the bands, too. Those fees are costing the band's merchandise sales.
They're costing them ticket sales because people say, no, I can't afford it with the fees. And then, of course, the merch. It's another area that bands rely on more than ever. A couple health scares in rock and roll this week. Carl Palmer, in the process of putting together a tribute to Emerson, Lake and Palmer, is recovering now from heart surgery. Didn't expect that. Didn't see it coming. It happened this week, and the veteran 73-year-old has said thanks to everyone at the London Hospital where he was cared for and the people who found this problem. And he says he's doing pretty good so far.
I'm so glad that this was a quote-unquote simpler procedure as far as a health scare goes and something that's a little easier to fix.
The other situation with Bonnie Raitt is less clear. It's a medical situation, unspecified. Tour dates have been canceled, including her appearance at Brandi Carlile's Mothership Weekend in the middle of May. The statement says Bonnie has a medical situation that requires surgery to address. The doctors say that in order for her to heal properly, they recommend she not perform for a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, this overlaps with 4 or 5 tour dates in May. Sounds like whatever it is, Marcus, they caught it in time, and she'll make a full recovery with any luck at all.
Bonnie Raitt is special, and another one of those musicians. The world needs Bonnie Raitt.
Another one of my girlfriends in rock and roll.
She's amazing.
You know, my buddy Tommy Conwell has been saying for a while now, the 80s are coming back. He says it on stage every time he's on stage with his band, right? It's the I Want My 80s tour with Rick Springfield, who's still looking good. And our dear friends, the Hooters, who have a new album, Rocking and Swing, that's hitting. Paul Young, Tommy Two Tone, John Waite, my friend Tim Hogan will be on stage for this one, and the Tubes, too. But they're hitting the road and making it an 80s thing, Marcus.
This tour is going to be a blast. If it's coming to your town in North America, I recommend you go see it. You will be dancing and singing all night long.
Early August to mid-September. See it if you can. Marcus, the number of people I know who worked with or knew Gordon Lightfoot is pretty high. He passed away this week at age 84, unspecified causes.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me.
It touched a lot of people who worked with him and met him back when he was a younger man, making all those amazing hit songs. One of the great Canadian artists of all time, Gordon Lightfoot, gone at 84.
I can see her lying back in her satin dress, in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sundown, you better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs.
His songs are a part of my childhood, just like you, and The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald is one of the greatest songs ever written.
Gordon was one of those artists that mom liked when it came on the radio, and you didn't want to turn it off either. Cross-generational, the great Gordon Lightfoot. Randy Bachman lost his other brother this week. Founding member of Bachman Turner Overdrive, Tim Bachman, passed away at age 71. He helped to create that guitar sound that you love so much from the songs that they made back in the day.
They're one of the bands that introduced me to rock and roll in the early days, hearing them on rock radio.
Rest easy, Timmy. Rest easy. Couple quick updates from previous episodes. What a great punk rock month we had this year, Marcus. A couple notes about the Black Flag episode. We remarked that the song Jealous Again was the same song as the Black Crowes, and more than one person pointed out that it's by Greg Ginn and that the other song the Black Crowes did was written by the Robinson Brothers. And I got some clarification on that whole 10 and a half thing. Remember how we were joking about that?
Yeah.
Turns out, during the intro on that album, Henry is introducing the band members by their cock size. And he gets to the end and he says, Kira has the 10 and a half. And now we know what it's about. There was a quote lost to us now. And believe me, I have Googled my ass off trying to find the source for it. I believe it was David Fricke in Rolling Stone magazine a long time ago, pointing out that the first four albums from Peter Gabriel as a solo artist were really a cycle. And that got us thinking about it. And then we got to making an episode about it. And that's what's out Monday.
I'm excited for the Peter Gabriel episode. The first four albums were wonderful. They had an impact on the music that I listened to and opened my eyes to a whole new world. And I am so excited to be able to share this episode with you.
It's out Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And that's the kickoff of our week off, our spring holiday. So there'll be no Bent News next week, and we will return the week after that with a new episode all about Janis Joplin. Sweet! And that's going to do it. Live on the Bent News Network, part of Pantheon Podcast Network, and a product of Dark Knock Media. For now, I'm Ray Kube.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
And when you need to know...
Well, get bent, turkey!
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.